Welcome to My Turn Life Coaching with me, Ricky Schwartz. If you're like most people, you've spent your entire life focusing on the demands of parenting, of relationships, of your livelihood. Much like you've been riding in a life-powered bobsled, leaning into what others expect of you. But I'm here to help you reclaim your life. I want to embolden you to raise your hand today and every day and say, it's my turn.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ricky Schwartz, and welcome to It's My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let's see if we can begin to get the seeds of reclaiming your life to take root. And then please join us on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at noon Pacific time, where my expert guests and I will do our best to give you the tools you need to finally say, it's my turn. Today, I'm very excited. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics in the world and one that's still relatively new to me. So I discovered it late in life and I just love it. We're going to be talking about what's called the process communication model, which describes, in short, the key roles that six personality types play in communication and probably more importantly, conflict. So today's guest is Nate Regier. Nate is the CEO and founding owner of the Next Element Consulting, which is a global leadership firm dedicated to bringing compassion into the workplace. And since compassion is one of my core values, and because compassion is one of my top strengths finders, everything he does and says resonates with me. Nate is also a former practicing psychologist and leading expert in social emotional intelligence, interpersonal communication, leadership, and of course, the process communication tool or model, process communication model. So recognized as a top 100 keynote speaker, Nate is also the author of three books, Beyond Drama, Transcending Energy Vampires, Conflict Without Casualties, A Field Guide for Leading with Compassionate Accountability, and lastly, and the one applicable to this interview today, Seeing People Through, Unleash Your Leadership Potential with the Process Communication Model, which, by the way, he's offering two free copies to listeners. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on. And lastly, he also hosts a very popular podcast and one of my favorites on compassion with Dr. Nate. Welcome, Nate.
Ricky, it is great to be here. What a pleasure. It's great to join your audience today.
Thank you. So this I do every interview, Nate, and I kind of create a mechanism where we can fast track the connection between the listeners and the guest. So I always begin by asking the guest, what are your personal core values, and in particular, the ones that align with our interview today?
Great question. And that is something I've actually been thinking more and more about lately. Maybe it's my age. I don't know. But maybe it's COVID. But I would say one of my core values is around leadership. And it is that leadership is about leveraging diversity towards shared goals. And it's just so important for me to think is as a leader, my job is to embrace diversity, but get it all going in the same direction. That's one of them. Another core value of mine would be that when it comes to personality, which is one of my favorite topics, is that personality is about types in people, not types of people. We're not different. We are all connected in certain ways. And so that's really important to me.
Okay. That's fascinating. I know we're going to talk about a little bit more, but until you made that distinction when we first had a conversation about this on my other podcast, Becoming a True Agile Leader, that's when you made the distinction between personalities of people and in people. So I found that fascinating, as just about everything you say, I find fascinating. So let's dive right into the process communication model. I know, and our listeners may not, a little tiny bit of background. The tool was created by Dr. Tavy Collar, and he's a world-renowned psychologist. He's an author. He's a presidential communications advisor, and he designed it to identify our core personality type and corresponding communication styles. That's a broad overview. So let's help him understand what it's about. Why it's called the tool that makes a daily difference, which is very important to those of us who are tired of trying different tools that are a little bit too obscure. And even naming it the process communication model, I find a little bit disappointing because I think that's going to turn a lot of people off thinking they need to be a research scientist or a nuclear physicist to understand the model, right? Or even at least be a psychologist. So kind of bring it down to the layperson's level as you talk about how is it going to help me daily?
Yes. Well, let's start with that. The tool to make a daily difference. Mm-hmm. That's because here's the thing about personality. Personality doesn't matter unless two or more people are trying to get something done. And then it only matters in as much as they are communicating with each other. If they have no interactions, it still doesn't matter. So that's pretty much every person in the world is they're different and they're trying to get something done together. So that's why it's a tool to make a daily difference, because it changes the way we interact with each other every single time we interact. So process communication model, the word process is not what most people think it is. Mm-hmm. Process is juxtaposed to content. So content is what we're talking about. Process is how we're talking about it. So think about this. Have you ever said, you know, it's not so much what you say, but how you say it that makes all the difference? Or if you ever had someone say, like I've heard, I don't like your tone, or what did you mean by that? What they're picking up on is it's the process of how we communicate that's where all the action is. So that's why it's called the process communication model. And notice it's not called the process personality model, because yeah, there's 100 models of personality, but it only matters if you learn how to communicate with one another. And that's what this model is all about.
Interesting. You know, and I think you raise a really good point, because even in my shows, I've been talking about different personality models, different things that make us tick, different energies. Those assessment tools are I love some of them to mm-hmm. death, but you're right. I think this is the only one that says, first, let's figure this out, but more importantly, how it impacts your communication, which is by and large the most important thing in the end anyway. So I think that's a really important distinction. So
yeah, it really is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it really is important. And if we can learn about differences, but if we don't then learn how to communicate with differences, we really haven't taken the next step.
Exactly.
And you know, if I had a dollar for every time someone said, oh, I wish I had a DISC profile on them so I'd know what to do, or I wish I had a this profile. Yep. Well, you shouldn't need a profile if you know what to watch for.
Yes.
And if you know what to listen for.
You know, you told me once when we were talking about this on the other podcast that even as a psychologist, if somebody put a gun to your head and said, even when you were in the throes of being a full-time professional psychologist, what would you use as your primary tool? And you'd have to make all the rest go away. And you said it would be this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I would pick this over anything if I had to. Now, I don't like to choose.
Yep,
it's part of my nature, but I would take it.
I thought that was really telling, because here you are, someone who's been practicing therapy for so many years, and this is the one that still continues to be the go-to in your mind now and then. So I thought that was really a good indicator too.
Thank you.
So what are the 6 types of personality that are in each of us? And how do they perceive the world?
Ah, thank you. In. So these are the 6 types we all have in us. And they are called the thinker, the persister, the harmonizer, the rebel, the imaginer, and the promoter. Okay. All 6 are arranged in a preferred set order in all of us, much like the floors of an office building, a 6 floors office building. And we all have a base floor, you go in and out of the base floor, and then we all have other 5 floors that we can visit, and we can access all of the wonderful things in that floor when it's needed to interact with the world in a certain way. So the thinker has the perception of thoughts. They see the world through thoughts. They want to analyze, organize, make sense out of everything. And it's you can pick up on how they speak. It's visible through a detectable language and nonverbals. The persister, they see the world through opinions. They have judgments and value. They want to compare everything to their values. And so you hear a lot of opinions coming from them. The harmonizer, they see the world through their emotions, their feelings. And so they really are experiencing a heart connection to what's going on around them. And their gut and their heart tells them what's going on. The rebel experiences the world through their reactions. So the world's coming at them and it's bouncing right back off like a ball against the wall. And so you really get, they wear their heart on their sleeve and they're a lot more, we say that they don't have mufflers as well developed as some of the other cars on the road. You can hear what's going on. The imaginer is oftenly called maybe the most introverted one. They are very reflective and they see the world through reflections. And they spend a lot of time inside pondering and reflecting and imagining. And then the last one is the promoter. This is my base personality type. Action is how they experience the world. When the world comes at them, they go do something about it. So you'll hear them use a lot of verbs because verbs are action words. And they love kind of being in action all the time in the middle of it. So those six perceptual frames of reference we can all access, but we all have our favorites and they're all detectable by if you know what to listen for and watch for.
Interesting. So we've got about 4 minutes or so until the break. Do me a favor and slightly more quickly go through those six again and give the key words that are associated with each. Yep. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about how they impact relationships and it'll be helpful if we still have them fresh in our minds.
Absolutely. And when we come back, remind me to tell you about a video I made called It's Not About the Orange.
Okay.
And the Three Little Pigs, but we'll get there. So, okay. Thoughts. I think. What's your analysis? What do the numbers say? Opinions. In my opinion, I believe we really should. Feelings. I love you. I feel so close to you. This is such a wonderful time we're spending together. Reactions. That was awesome. I can't believe you just said that. Sweet. Inactions, reflections. I'm wondering about all of the possibilities. Hmm. Action. Let's go to break when the clock strikes top of the hour.
So, and I love, by the way, in that second rendition, you actually address their communication because this is what we're going to end up doing. Yep. So you not only took the personality and described it, but in the second rendition, you said, this is how they speak, not just how this is how they speak. So that's going to be very helpful. 2 minutes before we go to break, tell people how they can find out what their core personality type. Where is this PCM tool available to them?
Well, I don't want anyone to feel disappointed by this news, but you can't just go get it for free in a 10-minute survey you take online. You do have to go through a certified process communication professional, and they can be found all over the world. I'm a distributor. Our company is a distributor for the US. But you go online, take an assessment, and then get your results back. And usually those results are debriefed with a PCM professional, or you learn about them in the context of a training. We offer a leadership profile with a free debrief, an included debrief that goes with the profile. And I think we got to know each other through that.
Yeah. That's good. And even if people don't do that, what I learned from you from the last podcast is just being aware that the personalities are in us and that they tremendously impact our communication. That could very well be the cause of the conflict. Just knowing that, just that awareness, I think is very, very, very helpful.
Very much.
So we're going to take a 3-minute break. You're listening to My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life with me, Ricky Schwartz. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to chat some more about the process communication model and more specifically, how it can help us improve our relationships. Stay tuned. Back in 3. Hey there, I'm Ricky Schwartz from My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life. How do you know if you're living your life and not someone else's? Here's one way to find out. First, list out your top 5 core values. For example, mine are empathy, excellence, passion, service, and core values. Then put those core values into short first-person core value statements. In my case, 1, empathy powers my relationships. 2, excellence is the goal in all things I do. 3, passion fuels my perseverance. 4, my value is measured by my service to others. And 5, core values drive all of my life decisions. Now ask yourself, am I using my core value statements to drive my personal and professional decisions? Maybe not. Maybe you've never even considered doing so. And that's where life coaching begins. Go to myturnlifecoaching.com and let's put your personal core values into your driver's seat.
Learn how to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel, the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
And we're back. You're listening to My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life with me, Ricky Schwartz. My guest today is Nate Regier, a three-time author, CEO, and founding owner of Next Element Consulting. Also a former practicing psychologist and leading expert in the process communication tool, which is what we are talking about today, otherwise known as the PCM. By the way, you can put your request into Facebook Live comments field, or you can call the studio at 800-930-2819. Again, that's 800-930-2819 to request one of two free copies of Nate's latest book, Seeing People Through, Unleash Your Leadership Potential with the Process Communication Model. Also, I want to make sure everybody knows how to contact Nate once the interview is over. Nate, can you give listeners your very best contact information?
Best contact information is go to our website, search for Next Element, and you'll find it. You can contact us right there.
Easy enough. So before I get into what my questions were going to be in this segment, Nate, you were talking about an orange and pig.
Yes. So I've done from time to time, just done some really informal videos reflecting on how this communication and miscommunication happens through the lens of this model. And I have a video on YouTube. It's called It's Not About the Orange. And if you type it in with my name, it's a story about how my wife and I had a conflict simply around sharing an orange at the breakfast table, all because of our two different perceptual frames of reference. It's hilarious. And I think everyone can relate to the situation. So I'll leave that up to watch the video. Then I also did the three little pigs, and I told the three little pigs from each of the six personality types, what would it sound like if each type was doing it? And then you get to do a little test at the end, and you can listen to it and see if you can figure out which is which.
Oh, that'd be great. You know what else I just thought about? You could do it with the seven dwarves too.
Oh yeah.
That would be great, because we're all familiar with those anyways. Yeah. That would be fun. All right. So let's get practical. How can the process communication model help the average layperson improve our relationships?
It improves relationships because if people can actually hear you, more happens and we connect better. How often, do we not feel understood, or maybe we don't understand someone and we respond by just turning up the volume or saying it again or saying it louder? That doesn't change it. PCM shows us there are six subdialects within every language. And if we learn how to speak those six subdialects, people can actually hear us. And that's why Dr. Kaler was a presidential communication consultant, because the whole idea is if you want to talk to everyone in the nation, they all need to be able to actually hear you, even though you're speaking English to everybody. So that's the number one goal, is when we can adjust how we say something, then the message can be heard and received and acted on much more likely. And we can avoid misunderstandings between people in relationships that maybe have different strengths in their personalities and care deeply for each other, but just are going like this and missing each other.
So let me ask you a question. Is it, in a sense, a two-way street? So number one, if I know my personality and my communication style, I can learn to make sure that I work within a framework that will be more appealing and less contentious with someone else. Does it also help if that someone else knows my communication style and my personality style, so they can assign it to that instead of taking things personally and so forth?
That's a great start. Awareness helps reduce stereotypes, reduce prejudices, reduce false assumptions. So that's a great start. Simply awareness. Mm-hmm. And then from there we go to, so what are you going to do with that awareness? And that's where you can start saying, well, I can make the first move. I'm from Kansas. So everyone knows about Kansas as Dorothy, right? And the Wizard of Oz. So there's this scene where the Tin Man rusts up, right? And is stuck. So we could go to the Tin Man and say, we expect you to function better and we're waiting you to make the first move. But what does Dorothy do? Dorothy takes the oil can and goes and squirts oil in all the right places because Dorothy meets Tin Man where he's at so that the Tin Man can do what he does best. And so I think that's what we do with PCM is we reach out to people and giving them the thing they need most so that they can then in turn be flexible and agile to give us what we need.
Perfect. So I think this is a great time to give some examples because, again, it still sounds a little bit theoretical. So pick a personality type and then give an example. Pick several. We have a little bit of time. Pick a few personality types and describe how that personality type might communicate or maybe just communicate.
Classic example, but me and my wife, I have a lot of thinker energy in me, so I like to analyze everything. She has a lot of harmonizer energy in her, so she likes to spend time with feelings and feel close. Classic example early in our marriage, she would come home and say, I had a hard day, or, you know, I have a headache or whatever, and I would say, well, when did it start? Or what happened at work? And I'd start pumping her for information because, not because I didn't care, because I was trying to understand logically what was going on. And then she would get quieter and shut down. And I would think, well, clearly she doesn't understand what's wrong with her because she won't tell me. But what she's experiencing is he doesn't care about me because he just wants to ask questions instead of listen to my feelings. So when I learned to say, oh, she doesn't want the language of thoughts, she wants the language of feelings, then I could adapt and she would come home and say, you know, I had a hard day. And I'd say, I'm so sorry. I want to hear all about it, or I'm listening. And I stopped seeing feelings as something to be fixed and logically, you know, that there was some logical explanation for them. And once I accepted that, I could speak another language and then we could start talking.
Did your analyzer at times though become a resource for her? Like, now I want to analyze this.
Oh, totally.
I don't know why Betsy was so mean to me today. Help me understand this.
Yeah. Oh, and we both have lots of the thinker energy. And when we meet on that floor, we are making lists. We are planning vacations.
Gotcha.
We are cleaning our house. We are got a master plan for our backyard and how we're going to do all the landscaping. So it's also really good when relationships, we can find a ground where we both speak the same language. We can really connect, but also then recognize when we're not speaking the same language and appreciate that it could lead to miscommunication real quickly if we don't make some adjustments.
Perfect. Okay, give me another example, another personality type.
Let's go motivation. Every personality type is motivated differently. So I'm motivated by the thrill of the chase. I like action. So I thought the way to get all my kids in the car to get to ready to go to school would be to be say something like, last one in the car is a rotten egg, or I got a prize for whoever gets to the car first. I turn it into a competition. None of my kids share that motivational need. They are tripping each other, crying, falling each other, can't get their pants up when I do that.
Yeah.
But what I realize is they have harmonizer energy. They want to be loved for who they are, and they have a lot of rebel energy, so they want it to be a game. So I would say things like, I got hugs waiting in the car, and it's like everybody comes running for the car. Or I say, hey, when we get in the car, let's play your favorite music on the way to school. Everybody comes to the car. So understanding these allows me to influence and motivate people according to how they want to be motivated, which truly is the platinum rule.
Okay.
That's one step beyond the golden rule. And now everybody is doing it for their reasons and we're all getting where we need to go on time.
Gotcha. We have time for one more example. Can you think of one?
This is probably applies to both professional and personal is written communication. Yeah. Anytime you're putting out a message that you care about, think about who's you want to hear it. And if you want people to really hear it, then say it in a language they can understand. Mm-hmm. And so if you watch Facebook posts or read memos or look at the news or read newspaper articles, you can really start to pick out what personality types are being spoken to. Mm-hmm. And we can use that first to get more people to pay attention to what we're doing.
Interesting. So let's talk about a Facebook post. What would be an example of how one personality type would communicate and doesn't take into consideration the audience?
The most classic one is the persister that wants to share opinions.
Yeah.
And they use Facebook as a platform to preach. and to share their opinions. Now, yeah, it can go overboard and we can see this self-righteous, opinionated, judgmental stuff, or before it goes too far, we just see people sharing opinions like, you know, so-and-so should do a better job at whatever, or the city should pick up the trash before noon. And they're just like posting this, sharing their opinions. But then the real question is, who are you trying to reach and who are you trying to influence?
Yeah.
So I use this a lot when I go out to eat, because if I can figure out the strongest personality of the server and I can speak their language, we have a connection. They feel heard. I feel heard. They give me a lot of great attention. I feel taken care of. They feel like they got a great customer, and they get a better, bigger tip, and I get better food. So
you literally have this turned on 24/7. You couldn't turn it off if you tried, could you?
It's a tool to make a daily difference.
Yeah, I guess that there, in fact, you are. I never thought about applying it to service professionals in general.
Oh,
I know
my
that
goodness.
Oftentimes service professionals will tell me that I'm unusually friendly. And of course, I never know what they're comparing that to, but it always makes me sad because I'm like, geez, who have you been dealing with? But I think what they're saying is, I'm unusually curious and inquisitive, and I almost always try to establish a connection. And so I think it's the same type of thing. You can almost within a few minutes, now that I've read the book, I can understand what makes them tick and what's going to motivate them for sure. I don't think I would have thought of, I may have been doing some version of it in the past, but I never thought about it in terms of the PCM.
If you want to really change the world, let's train all of the flight attendants that have to staff those booths in this model, because they're dealing with different personality types that are in distress all day
long. I always said that one of the hardest jobs in the world is gate agent.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they were able to recognize what was happening with each person and speak to them in their language?
And then they would take it personally.
Oh,
and then they wouldn't be upset or hurt or offended. They would be able to, as you say, meet them where they are.
They could get their message through, because the gate agents have a very important message and very important rules they have to follow, but they can't get people to hear it.
Yes, that's really, really true. I think everybody who's in a stressful customer service role, and I think every role would benefit, but if you're in a stressful customer service role, I can't imagine that you wouldn't do your best to seek out some kind of training on PCM, because otherwise I think you're in this vicious circle of miscommunication both ways.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Or when we work with medical providers, you don't have a physician or a nurse does not have a lot of time with a patient, and they have to get really good quality information to be able to do good treatment. The quality of the information is directly related to whether you're communicating with the person or not. Mm-hmm. So we've trained nurses and doctors to assess personality type in real time, speak the patient's language, and the rapport, the trust, the quality of information, and the engagement in treatment goes way up. So it pays off.
That's an excellent example, because how many times have you heard people say, I don't feel like my doctor was listening to me. I don't feel like my doctor was giving me enough time. I don't think my doctor was interested in who I am as a human being.
Exactly.
I think that those barriers could be broken down almost immediately if they had just a few of these PCM skills. That's a good point.
Yeah, can make real difference in a short period of time.
Interesting. Okay. Right now, we're going to take another 3-minute break. You're listening to My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life with me, Ricky Schwartz. We're going to pick up where we left off when we come back, and we're going to actually give some examples of how PCM has actually helped Nate and others in interpersonal relationships. He gave some examples with regard to he and his wife. Hopefully he's got lots more, because those are what fascinate me to death.
Every day.
Be back in 3. Thanks, Nate.
Hey there, I'm Ricky Schwartz from My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life. My last tip to listeners was to list your top 5 core values and then convert each of them to a statement. At the time, one of my examples was passion, and passion fuels my perseverance. And yes, I found this exercise to be the best first step toward helping my clients to reclaim their lives. But there's a second exercise that works in tandem with the first. This time, write down your top few negative core value statements about yourself or the world in general. 2 examples may be, if people knew the true me, they would never accept me, or people are generally untrustworthy. Afterwards, ask yourself 2 questions. Are you surrounding yourself with people who don't share or at least support your positive core values? And are your negative core values, or those of others, drowning out your positive core values? If yes to either, you've extinguished your ability to make personalized decisions. Go to myturnlifecoaching.com and let's unleash the power of your core values.
get empowered. On TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Are you living life, or is life living you? The destination may not be clear when we seek change, but we trust we cannot stay where we are. Healing and transformation coach Trish Campbell strengthens the mind-body-spirit connection. Diane McClade generates positive change by shifting perspective through choice. Get connected and gain clarity on the Shift podcast every first and third Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit invibe.ca for more info.
You're listening to My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life with me, Ricky Schwartz. My guest today is Nate Regier, three-time author, CEO and founding owner of Next Element Consulting, former practicing psychologist and leading expert in the process communication model, which is what we're talking about today. So in the last segment, Nate, we talked about how process communication model can help us with our interpersonal relationships. You shared a couple of wonderful stories. You also shared with us two videos that can really illustrate for people although they're fictional, they're still excellent examples. But go ahead in this segment and share some more firsthand examples of how PCM has helped you or your clients or your colleagues or your friends in their personal relationships.
Yeah, I'll share one more personal with my family, because every day I'm using this and experiencing the value with my family. I have three daughters. And the youngest one is 18, just graduated from high school 2 weeks ago. And they all have different personality structures. They all have the same six types, but in different orders. And my oldest daughter has a lot of the harmonizer, big heart, and a lot of thinker, very structured and organized. And her routine.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second, Nate. Have you asked them to take the assessment as well? Or are you just going by your own intuition?
They've all taken the assessment eventually when they were
Got
old
it.
Enough to do it.
Got it.
But yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And so my daughter, with a lot of thinker energy, loved routines at bedtime. Same time, the routine. And you know they tell parents, get into a routine. You know, you start brushing the teeth. All we would do is start the routine, and she would get tired. And the same thing every night worked. She's a person from routine. The next daughter, tons of rebel energy. And that rebel energy is actually helps focus through lots of play. And so we found out that the routine that worked for Lauren actually did not help her get sleepy. In fact, she would escalate and get agitated when we tried to get her to do a routine. So we started instead playing with her, tussling, wrestling, playing games at bedtime. And every parenting book would tell you, do not do that, because you don't want to get your kids fired up before bedtime. Well, we would tussle and wrestle. She'd have rosy cheeks, and I'd put her in bed and she'd be out cold.
Oh.
And then my daughter would come, my other one, Lauren, would come up and say, well, you never play with me at bedtime. That's not fair, which is what thinker energy does. They look to the left, look to the right, they compare. And so I said to Lauren, I said, hey, you know what? I'll do that same routine with you. So I tussled and played with her one night. And the next day she said, Dad, I couldn't get to sleep for hours. We're good. We're good. So trying different things, you learn how each kid's motivated, and it's not fair. It's justice. It's equity. It's inclusion when you treat each person like they want to be treated. So that's what I did with my kids. And as a result, no behavior problems in school, really. I mean, they did what they're supposed to do. And two of them have personality types that in most schools would end them up with ADHD in the principal's office. So this works. This stuff works.
Yeah. So what personality types do you think would lend themselves to the ADHD syndrome?
It's a phase type. And what that means is of the six types, there's one floor that predicts how you're motivated. And that's really the driver. It's the battery. And the rebel phase tends to, they need a lot of action or a lot of stimulation to focus. And so when they have to sit still in traditional classrooms, they can't focus. And then they get diagnosed with ADHD. And then what would you know? We put them on stimulants and then they calm down. So think about it. Another one is the promoter, which is me, the promoter phase. They need
Let me go back 1 second because I'm fascinated by that one. And then I want to go to promoter. So instead of putting them on medication, instead of dealing with them, but just having a syndrome or symptoms, what can the model do to help you get them to do what they don't want to do, which is sit and stay and focus?
Make it fun. Let them move while they're doing it. Fidget spinners were a gift. Cush balls are a gift to these people.
Yes.
Recess time, they started calling refocus time in middle school. Ooh. It's like, what? I mean, that's what it is. It's helping rebel phase personality types get those needs met for that playful contact so that they can go, because we don't have to stay all day in one floor, but if we can at least get to the gas station once in a while to fill our tank, we can venture into other parts of our personality throughout the day.
It's like needing three meals a day. You don't have to be eating 24 hours a day, but you need that food occasionally.
Yeah.
All right. Promoter. You were going to say promoter.
The promoter also tends to find themselves at odds in school systems because they want a lot of thrill of the chase and action. So they're taking risks. They set up competitions. They want to turn everything into a competition. And so when they don't get that need met in a healthy way, they cause negative drama and they manipulate and create a lot of triangulation. And that gets them into trouble. But those two types get into the legal system and they have a heyday in prison in the legal system because it's all about that kind of stuff. So there is some discrimination and prejudice in just how systems are set up that doesn't help certain types get their needs met.
So that makes me think, particularly, I'm going to put on the teenage brain for a minute. And I know an awful lot of adults who think this way as well. So I want to think about a pitfall associated with this. And I'll give you an example when it comes to insights discovery. If you're familiar with it, I don't know. But it gives you your four different kinds of energy types as well. It's a lovely assessment tool. Blue means you're very data oriented. I'm extremely blue. Green means you're particularly relationship oriented. I'm also a mixed green. Red means just get it done. I don't have time for this baloney. Just get it done. And yellow means everybody should be happy. I'm like a cruise director. That's yellow.
Yeah.
So in our corporation that I used to work at, everybody took that assessment tool. And what I saw happening occasionally was using it as an excuse for behavior that did not create harmony amongst the group. Look, I'm red, you know I'm red, just do it. Instead of like, okay, you know I'm red, so this is gonna be my inclination. Now let's talk about how we can deal with your energy as well. So how do you keep people from using their personality type with the PCM? How do you keep them from using it as an excuse? Or do you think that's not a problem?
I think it's a huge problem because personality is not an entitlement program.
Thank you.
And it is not a get out of jail free card. Learning about, and here's the problem, two problems. One is the tools we use that emphasize types of people instead of types in people. That's the first problem, is we walk away not appreciating the nuance of it. And we say, well, I'm a this.
Yes.
So therefore, now you know. So just back up off me.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or we don't go the extra mile to say, now that you know, you actually are more responsible for your behavior than you were before. Less responsible. So that's why, again, I like PCM because it's a model to teach communication skills to be able to take better responsibility for who you are. Yeah.
It's the same with insights, actually. And Kelly Giacchello used to teach it at my last corporation, which was Waste Management. She was brilliant at teaching it. And she would say, don't say I'm a red, I'm a yellow, I'm a green. Say that I lead with red energy or I lead with green energy so that you couldn't just throw it up in someone's face and saying, it's who I am, take it or leave it. And I think that's what you're saying in terms of the personality in someone. It's not who they are. It's a component of who they are. Yes.
I love that. And it's how we teach it. So your example is a great one of we have to be framing it properly throughout. And also if we're trained to observe behavior, one of the things I say is as PCM trainers and anyone who's learned it, our job is to respond to what you see, not what you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's
and And I didn't invent that phrase. I learned it from a good friend of mine. It's powerful. Don't respond to what you see, not what you know. And how often do we see someone's like, well, I know you're a whatever, so I treat you like that, but you're actually not in that part of your personality. You're coming at me with something completely different, and I missed it.
Yeah, that I think just like anytime you become an expert in anything, I think you build in preconceived notions that must be really difficult to avoid in this case. So I can see where that is that's a red flag, no matter who you're dealing with or who you are. Just because you're an expert, wait for the data. Don't assume you know anything just by communicating for 2 minutes. Yes?
So true. So true. And that's where we have really gone, really starting to explore what does diversity, equity, and inclusion look like around personality. Yes. And we're finding there are all kinds of prejudices, all kinds of unconscious biases. And my personality structure already comes with built-in unconscious bias just by the nature of its structure. So my least developed type is going to be the one that I don't understand. And so I'm more likely to ostracize or think is different.
Or judge or be scared of or leery of. That's a really good point. And you mentioned that you use this a lot in your inclusion and diversity type events as well, correct?
Yeah. And I would think some of our PCM training people have said is the most powerful inclusion training they've ever had. And we never talked about race, gender, any of that. But it's because there's so much overlap between personality and everything else.
Yeah.
Particularly gender, ethnic, culture.
Wow. You know, I really, until we started chatting right before this show, I really hadn't thought about the unbelievably critical role it could play in inclusion, understanding, cultural diversity. But once again, the personality is in, not a, I am a Black person, I am a woman. I have Black in me, I have woman in me, but I'm a multifunctional, faceted, organic being.
Well, every race has six personality types in them. Every gender, every culture has the six types. So it is the center of diversity. It's the thread that runs through them all. And then it maybe changes how we express it. But there's all kinds of biases we discovered, like that there's a certain personality type that is more likely to be, if a male has that type, they're more likely to be labeled as gay. Assume that they're gay when they're not. Or a certain personality type, if a female has that type, they're more likely to be assumed to have resting bitch face. Or be cold and uncaring when it's completely a stereotype prejudice. It's discrimination.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Mm. All right. Well, we're headed to our last break. You're listening to My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life with me, Ricky Schwartz. After the break, we're going to talk with Nate a little bit more about the PCM, and we're going to wrap up our talk with just a few more tantalizing tips and tricks, and stay tuned. Back in three.
Hey there, I'm Ricky Schwartz from My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life. How do you know if you're living your life and not someone else's? Here's one way to find out. First, list out your top five core values. For example, mine are empathy, excellence, passion, service, and core values. Then put those core values into short first-person core value statements. In my case, one, empathy powers my relationships. Two, excellence is the goal in all things I do. Three, passion fuels my perseverance. Four, my value is measured by my service to others. And five, core values drive all of my life decisions. Now ask yourself, am I using my core value statements to drive my personal and professional decisions? Maybe not. Maybe you've never even considered doing so. And that's where life coaching begins. Go to myturnlifecoaching.com and let's put your personal core values into your driver's seat.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show, Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life with me, Ricky Schwartz. And I have Nate Regier here talking about the process communication model. When we left off, we were talking about what a critical role the PCM model can be in inclusion and diversity and understanding each other's cultures and so forth. So this is a great time, Nate, I think, to talk about your research study that you are currently doing on personality inclusive workplaces, a different kind of inclusion, personality inclusive inclusive workplaces. So tell us about that study and how people can get involved.
Thank you. We are excited about this, and it's something we've been wanting to do for a long time. There's great models saying that personality is at the center of diversity. Garden, Schwartz, and Rowe have the four layers of diversity model. It puts personality at the middle. There's another model that shows like an iceberg where the things you can see above the surface and all those things you can't see. And personality influences so many of those things that you can't see. So we thought we would survey companies on what are they doing to address this. And so we created a survey with some input from some other DEI professionals, covering a whole bunch of different dimensions of how companies might address personality differences in the workplace. And we're collecting data. We've got about 140 responses from companies of all sizes all over the world. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to go for 200, so we want help. And the data, I shared a little bit of data on a workshop earlier today. It is fascinating to find out what's going on and what's not going on. Yeah. And we're going to also learn a lot about best practices. So our website, if you go to our website, we have a pop-up now that it will take you straight to the survey if you'd like to take it. But we'd sure love some input from leaders from all companies all over the world.
And tell me the end game, the goal of this particular study.
The end game or goal is to get a state of the industry, what is being done. And then we're getting a lot of informal input from people about that's going to help generate what are some best practices happening now. And then we're going to share principles and best practices for personality inclusion that will be part of an article that we'll publish.
Beautiful. Oh, I'm so excited about that. I can't tell you. So we're going to wrap up. I only have a few more minutes, but I want to talk about your two other books only because I find your content and intent to resonate with me quite a bit. So hopefully it would resonate with our listeners as well. So let's talk about your two other books. You can hold them up one at a time.
Sure.
And you can go in whatever order you like and just give the jacket.
Sounds good. Well, our company is from day one, we've been dedicated to bringing more compassion to every workplace. And our philosophy at Next Element is compassionate accountability, that those two have to coexist in full measure. So everything we're working on is to manifest that and give people tools. So the very first book is called Beyond Drama, Transcending Energy Vampires. And this is a deep exploration into an elegant model of understanding how we get sideways with one another and how we can get back on track and how compassion is actually the antidote to drama. Mm-hmm. Then my next book came out of all of
Let me go back for 1 second, Nate, only because I love the name Transcending Energy Vampires. And of course, I was first intrigued, but then when I read the book, I understand. Give a brief definition of an energy vampire.
An energy vampire is a person or situation that turns the energy of conflict into drama. Yeah. That's what they do with it. Yeah. And compassion is turning the energy of conflict into creation. Create something amazing. Notice there's always conflict and there's always going to be a struggle, but it's what we do with it. So we started developing curriculum and training and testing models and methods for how do we walk into conflict and produce something amazing with compassionate accountability. And that generated our second book called Conflict Without Casualties. And this is a field guide for leading with compassionate accountability. And this really is the manual, the framework, the methodology for how to turn conflict into something amazing in the workplace. And so then that led to the book on what about personality differences. So we kind of are trying to hit all sides of that.
Beautiful. Yeah, I could truly, your books are actually for me, I have books that I read once and then I have books that I have a lot of pages bent at the corner. Yours have a lot of pages bent at the corner. And I'm so thankful for them. And I'm so thankful you spent time with us today. I really appreciate it, Nate. So,
well, one of the highlights of my day.
Glad to hear that. Yeah. I really am happy to hear that. Before we close out, go ahead, share your social media handles. You can. Mm-hmm. You already talked about your URL. You can share that as well. You want to share your social media? Now's the time to do it.
Yeah. Again, we everything goes through our website, nextelement.com. And you can find us on Facebook. Also, I am at NextNate on Twitter. And we do a lot on LinkedIn. There's just a lot going on there too. So yes, you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
Including your podcast. Anybody can click on your podcast, which again is called Compassion.
On Compassion with Dr. Nate. And you can find it from our website.
I strongly recommend you guys listen to it. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And remember, guys, if you're interested in this topic, you can request a free copy of Nate's book, Seeing People Through, Unleash Your Leadership Potential with the Process Communication Model. Again, you can call the studio to request one at 800-930-2819. You can go to Nate's website. Again, that website URL?
NextElement.com.
NextElement.com. And you can also get it from Amazon. So you can get all of his books through Amazon. And I want to thank you guys. I want to thank the listeners for taking the time to listen to the show today. It means a tremendous amount to me. And particularly when I have someone on who speaks a language that I really think is going to help a broad variety of people. So thanks for joining in and taking that risk with us. Lastly, be sure to listen in 2 weeks, Wednesday, June 12th, noon Pacific time, for our episode called Self-Care, Intention, Not Indulgence, with life and business coach, Deborah Crow. I think it comes at a good time because we're just post-pandemic and we're trying to figure out, when do we put our own oxygen mask on? When are we supposed to do that? The answer is always, always first. So take a breath with me at that time and listen to Deborah Crow's perspective on the discipline, sounds counterintuitive, but the discipline it requires to master self-care and why it is so vital, particularly now. Last but not least, special thanks to my amazing producer, Jacob Kappas. Finally, I'm going to close out this interview, as I do every interview, with one of my favorite quotes related to life transformation and the topic we discussed today. Today's quote is from George Bernard Shaw. He says, "The biggest problem in communication is the illusion it has taken place." Till next time, be thinking about what you can do to reclaim your life. Thanks again, everyone.
Thanks so much for tuning into My Turn Life Coaching with me, Ricky Schwartz. Now, before you go, ask yourself this question. At my memorial service, what do I want folks to say was my passion? What do I want them to say was my purpose? If you don't know, or you don't think they'll know, then it's time to say it out loud. It's my turn. Visit myturnlifecoaching.com today and let me help you reclaim your life.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.